Hey, good morning, church family. Come on, who's grateful for the work of the Lord in your life and for what he's doing in your heart? And he's good. He's near. In fact, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball today. Find someone to your left or your right and just remind them God is near. Just tell them God's near. He's near. Even if you're brokenhearted, God is near. He's near to us. He's with you. He's for you. He has a plan for your life. He desires to be the bridge to get you where he has for you. And it's my honor this morning to introduce our very special guest minister who's here today. And in fact, I'm going to ask you to give two rounds of applause. How about just right now we honor Pastor Richard and Sandra Hinojosa right there. They're here today. Hey, that was pretty good. I think they're excited about something today. So, hey, Pastor really is such a blessing, Pastor and Sandra. Back in 2012, the Lord called Amity and I and our family to relocate to a beautiful part of Texas, deep as far south as you can go in Texas, Brownsville, Texas, in the Rio Grande Valley, to serve in a wonderful, amazing church called Good Shepherd Community Church. And for 3 years, we just got to see and watch Pastor Richard and Sandra just lead with integrity and boldness and courage and compassion and faith. And they just imprinted our life and our ministry, and they continue to do as much just relationally as spiritual moms and dads to Amity and I and to this church. They care about you guys and us as a church family. They check on us often. How are things going? What's God doing? Pastor Richard is really one of the most dynamic communicators in anywhere in the body of Christ. I believe that with all my heart, and I think you'll see what I mean by that here in a moment. He's a strong prophetic. Has a strong prophetic anointing, and he cares deeply for every one of God's people to step into the fullness of what God has for them. So would you open your heart, prepare your heart to receive what God wants to speak to you, what he wants to remind you of, what he wants to reveal to you today, as I ask you one more time to put your hands together and give the biggest warm Rev City welcome to Pastor Richard Hinojosa.
Thank you, Thomas. Love you, buddy. Well, good morning, Rev City family. How are you? It's good to be back with you guys. We bring you greetings from deep South Texas. My wife, Sandra, and I, and the family of believers at Good Shepherd Community Church, we're just so grateful for every opportunity that we have to be with you, to the Kiefer family. Our condolences to you. We're praying for you. Church family in Brownsville is praying for you. You know, there's a story, Jehoshaphat had set his heart to do for the Lord, everything that God had put in his heart to do. But he found himself in a situation where he said, and I'll read the scripture to you, and then I just want to take a moment. And he says, O our God, we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Everything was going one way, and then all of a sudden something happened, and they felt overwhelmed. And he says, we have no power against what's happened and what's coming against us and what we're dealing with, nor do we know what to do. He says, but our eyes are upon you. And that's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. And so there's another scripture that says that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are totally committed to him. And he says, and that word to show himself strong is a Greek Hebrew word, chasak, which means to fasten himself to. And because your hearts have set out to continue to stay loyal to him in spite of what's come against you that's overwhelming, he says he's going to fasten himself to you in this season. And so you'll have a strength and a comfort and a grace that you're going to need that comes from above. So just know that I know this church family's praying. Know that we're praying for you guys too. Again, it's so good to be here with you guys. And I have a lot to say, so just bear with me. And when I come to Lawrence, by the way, I feel like I'm at home. I feel welcome, valued, and cared for by your pastors and your team, Thomas and Amity and Eddie and Beth, and just the whole staff and all of you. You just make us feel so welcome, so thank you so much. And by the way, not only have Thomas and Amity been on our staff, but Pastor Eddie and Pastor Beth were on our staff a while back, and I didn't think about it this first service, but you know, the church that they're going to pastor there in Texas is a church where Sandra, as a little girl, grew up in. How crazy is that? I mean, I was just thinking about it, and so anyway, blessings to Eddie and Beth and to Thomas and Amit and the team is God. God knows what he's doing. Amen? Now, enough of the introductions. How about those Chiefs? I mean, you know, I said, I'm sure there's going to be a few Chiefs fans in the house today because, you know, I was watching the game and all of a sudden I just felt like I was supposed to bring this message that I've entitled The Game. You know, just kind of like I wanted to talk about the game. So Santa and I were sitting there by ourselves, which is rare because we always got grandbabies and everything going on. And we're sitting there and I'm watching. I said, I think I'm supposed to take a message to Lawrence about this game, you know. And then as we're watching the game, I thought, oh my gosh, Lord, I hope they win because that's going to be awkward talking about the game if they don't win. And so we were praying for the Chiefs to win because I wanted to come and bring a message called The Game and about them winning. And so, and y'all watched the game, so you know that was some kind of a game, amen? Yeah. Now, you know, sometimes Jesus many times used to speak in parables to try and bring a spiritual point to his disciples. So he would tell stories about things, but he was trying to connect them to some spiritual insights and truths. And that's what I'm going to attempt to do this morning. I want to talk about some practical things about the football game, but I want you so you can have a picture and remember what you saw, and then we can apply it to our walk and our faith walk with the Lord in this season of our lives right now. Amen? Will you allow me to try to do that this morning for you guys? And so just want to share some thoughts about the game. First of all, I know that in order for them to win the Super Bowl, in order for us to win at life, in order for us to win in marriage and family and work and church and a community, then first of all, we have to have a game plan. We have to have a strategy going into the game. You don't just show up and then try and figure it out as you go. And I want you to know that God has a game plan for each and every one of you here, those of you that are watching online. He has a game plan according to Jeremiah 29:11. He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. He says, I know the plans that I have for you, the New Living Translation says. And he says, they're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. I want you to turn to somebody. He says, God has a game plan for you. God has a game plan for you. He just does. Now listen, this is what I know. Not only does he have a game plan for each and every one of us, I said, but in the game plan, he's the coach, and we have to trust the coach and his game plan. In order for us to win at marriage, at life, we have to trust the coach. I don't know who's coaching you, but I want to tell you that I know who's coaching me, and this is his game plan. This is his game plan for my life, for my marriage, for my children. In this season of my life, as I'm navigating change and I'm no longer the senior pastor of the church that we've spent the last 16 years at, I'm serving in a different role and God is changing us, or we're transitioning. He's recalibrating us. He's making adjustments. And so we're having to learn in the midst of what we don't know yet and what the next steps are sometimes. We have to trust that God has a game plan for us. Tell somebody he's got a game plan for you. And he's a good coach. He's a good coach. Ladies, some of you forgive me for talking about football, but my dad was a football coach and a coach of everything else. I just grew up in a house and that's all I knew. So for me, when I see things, I can tangibly connect it to my spiritual walk and what God is trying to tell me. And I want you to know, I have the greatest coach to ever exist leading me in this season of my life. And he's got the best game plan, the only game plan that will get me the results that I'm looking for. So you need to know, in order for the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, in order for us to win at life in every area, we have to believe that there's a game plan for us, and we're going to have to trust the coach. And by the way, coaches have a different perspective than we do. Because we all have an assignment. God gives us something to do, to serve, to give, to connect, to serve in different areas, to serve our husband, our wife, or our families. And we have a function. The body of Christ is of many members, but there's only one body. And when we all come together and we do our part, then we fulfill what God has asked us to do. But this is what happens. God gives me an assignment, so I'm focused on my assignment. I want to make sure that my blocking technique is correct, or I'm running the right route, or you want to make sure that you're throwing a good pass, or you're playing defense, whatever your position is, whatever your assignment is in life, then you're focused on your assignment. But the coaches have a different perspective. The coaches have a different perspective. There's a bunch of them. Sometimes you would think, man, there's more coaches than there are players. trying to get strategies and trying to catch the things that other people are missing so they can rally the team and give them the best opportunity to win. Now, I'm talking about life and marriage and family and our children and our workplace and our churches. See, while we're focused on one assignment, the coaches are on the sideline and they have a whole different perspective, and they're seeing all the assignments and they're seeing how they're all connecting and how they're all working together. And in football, they even sit up in the press, we used to call them the press boxes, and they have an even different perspective. So we have to trust the coach and what he's seeing, and then we have to run the plays that he's calling for us. Somebody help me this morning. How about those Chiefs? I knew I'd get a response, but we have to trust the game plan, and we have to trust the coach, and we have to know that they see things that we don't see in a way that's going to help us. Amen? The other thing I understand about what it took to win the game is that they had to play a whole season. They prepared, they trained, they disciplined themselves. They listened to the coaches. They had to deal with injuries. They had to deal with setbacks. They had to deal with losses. They had to deal with dropping the ball or not catching the pass or calling the wrong play. But they stuck together. They understood that it was going to take all season to get to that place where they finally experienced the goal, what they were reaching for. And you have to play a whole season and experience multiple battles and challenges to have an opportunity to stay in the game and win the big game. Amen. And every game prepares you not only for the next game, but to win the big game. But you're going to have to trust the coach. Sometimes he says things to me, or sometimes I experience things that I just don't get and I just don't understand. But he sees things from a different perspective, and I've got to trust him. I've got to trust that he wants me to win more than I want to win. That he wants what's best for my family. He wants my best for my children, for my marriage, for my church, for my community. And so I have to always go back to, no matter what, I have to trust the game and everything that happens in between. He's preparing me. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, what he has destined for us, his plan. So he has a game plan, and he wants us to realize that we're going to walk through different challenges during a season as we're getting to the win in our life, marriage, family, church. And the other thing that I also know is that we have to stick to the game plan when things aren't working out like we thought they would. Some of you say, man, you know, I've tried sticking to the game plan, and I've really tried to trust the coach, but things aren't working out like I thought they would. Somebody here, somebody online, but that's you. I'm here for this thing to tell you, stick to the game plan. Trust it. Trust the coach. Trust that he has a good plan for your life, even when you don't see it and you don't understand it, like we sing the song, even when we don't see it, he's working. Even when we don't feel it, he's working. And he's looking at everything, and he's strategizing, and he's getting ready to call that one play that's going to turn things around for us in every area of our lives. But we just have to stick to the game plan. Galatians says it this way. It says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. And this is where he says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. Let's not get tired of sticking to the game plan. We will reap a harvest. We will win the blessings of God. We will receive the blessings of God if we don't give up and if we continue to trust in the coach and in his plan, regardless of what we're seeing and feeling and experiencing at any given moment. Amen? So we got to know that we have a game plan. We got to trust the coach. We got to stick to the game plan. I mean, how many of you really honestly were watching the game and the first half said, I don't know who's calling that game plan, but man, it ain't working. Can we be honest? Can we be real? How many of you are wanting to call plays? And then you get frustrated. How many of you are getting frustrated? And sometimes we're trying to live according to coach's game plan and listening to him, and we get frustrated and we bump the coach. Watch it now. Watch it now. but it was because of passion. And the thing is, man, he doesn't mind us bumping him, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, as long as we're passionate, because they all wanted to win. And the question is, we've got to have a passion, a desire for our marriages to win, for our families to win, for our children to win, for our church to win, for our city and our nation to win. And we might bump up against each other once in a while, but we trust each other's heart because we're not playing according to our own game plan. We're playing according to his game plan, and he's a coach that we can trust, and he sees things from perspectives we can't see. So we just have to trust him. Young people, listen, you have to trust him, and you have to trust his game plan. Whatever it is that you're bumping up against, that's okay. Be passionate about God. Be passionate about your relationship with the Lord. Be passionate about your church. Be passionate about your city. God is going to do things through you that you could never even think or even imagine nor enter into your heart, but you've got to trust the coach and you've got to trust the game plan, especially when things don't seem like they're working out like you thought they would. Amen? How about those Chiefs? How about these young people? Come on. Yeah. God's up to something. God knows exactly what he's doing. So we don't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop trusting the coach. Don't get out of position. Do your own part in every season, because the coach knows what he's doing and why he's doing it. He knows what to utilize you in a particular season that most benefits the team, not most pleases me. I'm well pleased to continue to be the senior pastor at Good Shepherd Community Church, but the coach says, no, it's time for your son to take that role, and I have something else for you in this season. I just have to trust him. Can I tell you, it hasn't been easy. There's times I go on a walk. I'll tell you, I've been walking a lot lately, not because I want to, it is good for my health, but I need to clear my head and clear my heart. I need a place where, God, I don't understand this, but I trust you. And I didn't want my wife to see me crying. I didn't want her to see me. I didn't want her to think that my tears were tears of weakness. It was just times of, Lord, I just trust you. My flesh is saying one thing, but I trust you, Lord. And it doesn't matter how I feel, Lord. I'm choosing to trust my coach because you're the greatest coach that has ever been. And I know you're in it to win it. You want me to be successful in life, in marriage, in ministry, in every area. So I just have to trust you in spite of what I'm feeling. And I have to not ever say, don't quit, or I guess there's no room for me anymore. I'm not leaving something. I'm entering into something else that God has for me. Beth and Eddie aren't leaving here. They're just entering into the next assignment. And many of you in this season are going to enter into new assignments. That doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with the past. It just means that God's getting ready to call another play to give you the opportunity to win. How many of you want to win in life? Yeah, we all do. He knows how to utilize you. Just don't compare, don't complain. Just trust the coach. The other thing I know about what it took to win that game is that there had to be strategic timeouts that were taken. In the heat of the battle, in the heat of life, in the heat of navigating marriage, family, whatever, there's got to be timeouts. And by the way, everybody needs a timeout. God took a timeout. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, it says he rested. We all need timeouts. Everyone needs a timeout. Ask the parent of a 2-year-old. And mom and dad knows when to call a timeout for our own good and for their good. We have to trust the coach. Amen? Remember Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary in doing good. Why did he say that? Because he knew we would get weary and that we would get tired. Even Jesus took time out, set aside to rest and recover. Remember last time I was here talking about recalibrating, lodging, preparing for the adjustments necessary to take the next step to discover God's plan and purpose for our lives in that season. God's message from the beginning is plain. If creation didn't crash when I rested, it won't crash when you do. And sometimes we just need to pause and we need to lodge, like he said. And timeouts, God wants to give us rest, and he wants to evaluate the strategy. He wants to reconnect us with teammates, and he wants to make sure that we stay focused so that we can have a win in those areas of our life that he's called us to. Amen? God wants your marriage to win. God wants your children to win. God wants us to celebrate life and celebrate, but we're going to have to trust him. Amen? You know, it's really interesting. Is everybody doing okay? Is this okay? I just want to come by. And man, we love you guys. We're praying for you. Man, God has a plan for your baby too. Specific, intentional. And what's in your heart as a mama for that baby, you'll never be fulfilled unless you trust the coach and trust his playbook. And you know, by the way, in 2 years from now, you have no idea where you're going to be. But God's already been to where you're going. And now he's reaching back and he's trying to say, man, would you trust me to get you there? To get you through this and to get you there. And it will be good. And it'll be for a future of hope and not of evil. He says, if you'll trust me, I believe he comes today to say, I got you and I got your baby. And I know what's ahead. He says, if you'll trust me and not quit and not get discouraged by what you see or don't see, feel or don't feel, you can trust the coach. He's a good coach. Amen. And so we just have to, and it's amazing. It's amazing several things that in regard, and I'm just meddling now. I'm just kind of getting around and everybody, y'all get so nervous. I mean, you're making me nervous. Yeah, I'm wondering, I better go check. I've got to go check myself. Is there some, you know, did I leave a piece of lettuce? That Beth, am I okay over here? Okay. I love the fact that Jesus spoke through parables. You know, he showed natural things to try and speak spiritual truths to us. And going back to watching the game, what Super Bowl was it, by the way? Who remembers? Isaiah 58. What a great number. Would you put that scripture up there for me? This is what the Lord spoke to me during the game. And I was saying, I hope they win, Lord, because I know if you can get to that part, Isaiah 58, because I don't have my Bible with me. And we're going to get to that, but it's just amazing how I feel like God began to show me some things for you, for this church, for this city. And listen to what Isaiah 58 says. He says, the Lord will guide you continually. Not just once in a while. Not just the Lord used to guide you continually. It says the Lord will guide you continually. And as you allow yourself to be guided by the Lord, your family's you're gonna guide your family as the Lord is guiding you. And those things and those dreams and desires that you have in your heart for your family, God says, I want you to know today I'm gonna guide you continually. And as you trust me and as you continue to execute the game plan, he says that's in your heart, you're gonna see it's coming. It's almost like, it's kind of like, well, some of them are there, but yes, ma'am, I'm talking to you. As some of them are there, but somebody says, you keep trusting that he's guiding you continually. And as he's guiding you, you're guiding your family. And it's all going to happen just like what's in your heart to happen. Amen? So you keep trusting the coach and his game plan. He says, I will guide you continually. And he says, and satisfy your soul in drought. And I will strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a well-watered garden. Rev City Church, you shall be like a well-watered garden. That means you're going to be fresh. You're going to produce things that people want and need. He says, and like a spring of water whose waters will not fail. And those among us, tell to somebody, he's talking about you. He says, those among you will rebuild old waste places, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you will be called repairers of the breach. And the restorer of streets to dwell in. God has something for this church. I believe God was saying something prophetically through that game in regards to this house, in regards to your family, in regards to this city and this region. And he says, I'm going to guide you continually. Let me give you a couple of more 5-8 because it's Super Bowl 58. Let me give you a couple of more 5-8 scriptures this morning. Bear with me, okay? You with me? Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 5:8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children in the light. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but let us who are of the day be sober, be alert, be awake, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet and the hope of salvation. When I was here last October, November, I said, I saw the banner over this church that said, God is mighty to save. I believe he's used these Super Bowl numbers in my own head, the way I began to look at it and see it, to remind us that this is going to be a place of salvation, that this is going to be a place of refuge. God is saying, I plan to do it, and now I'm going to perform it, and he wants to remind us. as we talked about that banner that was over this church. God is mighty to save you, your family, your children, your marriage, this church, this community. God is mighty to save. That's what the scriptures out of chapters 5 and 8 in the Bible declare to us and remind us again. You know, I got to thinking really, and I think really strange. I've got a lot to say, so just bear with me. Everybody doing okay? I was thinking during the game, and I told Sandra, I wonder what the name Mahomes mean. Anybody ever have a thought like that? You remember what the origin of your last name means? You know, like Hinojosa. So where in the heck did that name come from? I said, who wants that name? You know, and then I thought, I want that name. You know that I discovered that my name, my family origin goes back to Spain, and there was a colony in Spain that was called La Colonia de Hinojosa, which means the colony of the Hinojosas. And in that colony was designated in Spain, in that region, specifically to raise up warriors that would defend the clergy and the poor. God knows stuff about us that we don't know. And if we'll trust him and stay in the game, he's going to take us places. And you say, you know, I'm like, I tell Sandra, I'm like the Mexican-American Forrest Gump. I show up in picture with people in the, and say, how did he get there? She, I don't know, but I'm in the picture. God takes me places I never expected to be. I went to the White House in Mexico to have audience with the president of Mexico, with Doug Stringer, and they took a picture, and I saw all these, you know, all these distinguished, you know, presidents and cabinet members, and here's Richard Hinojosa on the picture. It's like, I don't know, but I've got a great coach, and I'm trusting his game plan. And it doesn't always work out like I think it does today, but he's leading me somewhere. He's leading you somewhere. He's leading you somewhere. He's leading you somewhere. We just have to trust him. And so I looked up for the name Mahomes. I said, I wonder what that means. And it's the motto, the Mahomes motto is this is, I don't know what language it is. Sic no sic sacra tum. I don't know what it is, man. But this is what it means in English. Thus we guard our sacred rights. When I read that, I thought, yes, God is saying something to me. God is saying something to his church, to his people, through this game, through a practical illustration. He wants to highlight some spiritual truth so that we as humans can get what it is that he's trying to do and trust that he's trying to get us to the finish line, not to just cross the line, but to bear the fruit that would bring him glory, that would bring our marriages, that would bring him glory, that would have families, that would bring him glory, that we would react in the good and in the bad in a way that would bring him glory. One more scripture in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, you know you have an adversary, right? The Chiefs didn't play in the game by themselves. And the devil walks, I'm not calling the other team the devil, but this is the scripture says, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And then there was a tragedy right after, during the celebration of the victory. And I was looking at that and I was praying to, and this is what I heard the Lord say, the enemy will always try to assassinate what we as a church want to celebrate. And what do we celebrate? We celebrate Jesus. We celebrate faith. We celebrate marriage. We celebrate family. We celebrate church. We celebrate life. We celebrate unity. And so he says, be alert. In the Message translation, it says, keep a cool head. Anybody need to keep a cool head from time to time? During that game, at least once or twice. He says, keep a cool head, stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. You're not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It is the same with Christians all over the world. We're all challenged. We're all struggling. We're all having to navigate things that we don't know and we don't understand. And by the way, I don't have to understand everything completely to obey immediately. Because I trust my coach. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to like it. I just have to trust him in this season of transition for my life when all the change is going on. And by the way, ever since I stepped down, the church is growing. In every area, there was nothing wrong with it before, but it's going to another level. And I said, okay, Lord. I said, Lord, I feel like I've given the best 16 years of my life to this body here. And he said to me, it's because you've not seen the next 15 years. The coaches have a different perspective than we do, and we just have to trust them. He says, so keep a firm grip on your faith. The suffering won't last forever, Richard. It won't be long before this generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ's eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. He gets the last word. Yes, he does. That's the message. And man, listen, aren't we glad that he has the last word? How many of you really, really for a moment thought that the Chiefs were not going to win? Some of you thought, ooh. And we're just, oh, we got into overtime. You say, no way, man, I believe in my Chiefs. And then they went, and then they got into overtime, and it was like, okay, now what? And they went through all that whatever, whatever. And we're still wondering, is it going to happen? And all it took was the right call at the right time in the right place on the field, and the coach called the right play and the team executed, and the next thing you know, it's home, baby. We're celebrating. Went from the struggle and the heat of the battle, and it's kind of like we played a whole game and we're into overtime and we're still where we started all over again. We're not winning, and it's kind of like we're starting all over again. But all it took is one play. Sometimes in our marriages, all it takes is trusting him, looking to the playbook and trusting the coach, and one more call, one more play. Well, we tried that play and it didn't work in the first quarter, but we're going to stay to the game plan. We're going to stay to the word. And all of a sudden, you never know when the right play at the same time, if we're persistent and faith says that we keep doing it and we keep trusting and we keep going and we keep trusting. And all of a sudden, the same plays that didn't work in one half, there was just maybe minor adjustments. Remember 2024, a year to recalibrate. And then he calls the right place. And Lord, I've tried that before and it didn't work. Well, Lord, I did what your word says and I just still don't see the fruit of it yet. But just one more, to give the coach one more time. He says, I'm asking you to do this just one more time. Just one more time. And you never know when that one more time is going to come at the perfect time and you're going to be able to score and win. And said the coach knew what he was doing all the time. I just had to trust him one more time for that he was telling me. And all of a sudden it went from I don't know and I'm not sure to hallelujah, thank you Jesus. We got to trust the coach and we got to trust the game plan. Can you imagine? I mean, it's just all it took. Yeah, guys, help me out. I find this interesting. I'm closing. I'm wrapping up. I hope this is helping somebody today. I know it's helping me. Did I tell you that I have a great coach? And I trust my coach. I've tried a lot of other game plans. They just don't work. And when I was in that hospital for my recovery of my bad habits and addicts and my sin, and the counselor said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results in the playbook of the world. But in our faith world, the kingdom is totally upside down. Blessing comes from doing the same thing over and over again and knowing that one day God is going to call the right play and I'm going to listen again and it's going to work. The number three is very significant for us in this season, I believe. Just some interesting facts about the game. It was Mahomes' third Super Bowl victory. It was Mahomes' third MVP. He threw the touchdown pass from the 3-yard line with 3 seconds to go. It was the 33rd time that a quarterback had won the most valuable prayer. He threw for 333 yards that day. The game took place at 3333 Al Davis Boulevard. The margin of the victory, 25-22, was 3. Now, it's either all a coincidence or God is saying something to us. And remember last time I was here, Joshua chapter 3 says, I want you to lodge, I want you to prepare, and then you're going to step out. I'm getting you ready for the next step. I'm getting ready to take you from this place to the miraculous, to the other place where I'm going to do wonders among you. That's in that's found in Joshua chapter 3. If you look at Jeremiah 33:3, the word of God says, call to me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know about. I will show you things that are hidden and inaccessible to you, but not to me. There are some things that we're trying to break the code on. We're trying to get past. We're trying to get through. But it seems like they're inaccessible to us. But God says, you call to me and I'll show you things, show you great and mighty things that seem to be inaccessible to you. And by the way, the things that God is going to give you access to are not just for you. I feel like God is going to use that he's given you in this season of your life as you trust him and you trust the playbook. He's going to give you access to nations. Now, I don't want you to don't try to figure all that out, but there's things that he's going to unlock in you, but he's preparing something. Sometimes in seasons where we're going through tough seasons, he's preparing, he's adjusting our character, he's adjusting our attitude. Not that there's anything wrong with our attitude or character, but he's preparing us so that when we get there, we have the right attitude and the right character, the mind of Christ and the character of Christ, so that the nations will be open to receive the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that be true in Jesus' name for your life. But the number three is significant for us in this season of our lives. And we just got, either it's all a coincidence or God is trying to say something through a natural picture to get something into our spirit that we can understand. Call to me. I'll answer you. Jeremiah 33:3. And show you things that are hidden and inaccessible. Every eye closed in this place. Those of you that are watching online, just take a moment. See, you never get to a Super Bowl in your marriage, in your life, your family, your business, your church, your city, unless you're part of a team. You don't just show up by yourself. You gotta become part of a team, and you'll never become part of a team until you say yes to the coach who's trying to recruit you. And Holy Spirit, would you do the work of recruiting people into the kingdom? Because your word says that no man can come to God unless you draw them by your Holy Spirit. So would you draw people to you? Would you call us out of our old man and into our new man? Would you forgive us of our past and lead us into a new life and give us a new nature and make us a part of your kingdom? We want to be part of the winning team, God, and you're the coach of that winning team. And I want to make sure I'm on the right side, on the right team when I go into those crucial moments of the games. If you're here, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, if you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never asked him to forgive you of your sins and your past and tell him, God, I quit living for myself and running my own place. I need a coach and I need a playbook, oh God. And today I feel you speaking to me and I said, I want to become part of your team. I want to surrender my life and I want to sign on the dotted line and become part of your team. If that's you and that's you today, would you put your hand up for me? Anybody here? Anybody? I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand back there. Anybody else? I see those hands. Let's all pray this prayer together with those that have lifted their hands. Say, Father God, right here, right now, in this moment, I say yes to you. I don't want to live by my game plan. I want to live by your word. I don't want to be self-coached. I want to be led by the coach, Jesus Christ. I believe that you are the Son of God, and I believe it in my heart, and I confess it with my mouth, that you are the Christ, that you are my Savior. I leave the old behind, and I sign on the dotted line to become part of your team. Wash me, cleanse me, forgive me, make me a new creation. Thank you for bringing me into your team, and I'll choose to trust you. No matter what, in Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's thank God for those. Pastor Thomas and Amity, come on up here to Amity. Would you help me for a minute? Sandra, would you come up here, help me for a minute, please? I know you don't, Sandra is very much behind. She wants to make sure we have all the right equipment and everything's in order and everything. She don't want to really be on the camera while the team's playing, but I just want to read that word that, come up here, hon. And you all weigh this, you and the leadership, but I feel this is a prophetic message from the Lord that came through a natural occurrence. And And I just want to declare it over you. And just remember to win in God's call in your lives and what God's called you to in this season. Trust the coach and his game plan. Understand seasons. Stick to the game plan and take strategic timeouts. And the prophetic declaration that I want to say to you now, instead of just to the church as I did in the first services, I will guide you continually. You shall be like well-watered garden. You will build the old waste places, and you will build up the foundations of many generations. You are repairers and restorers. Stay alert. Don't get caught napping. Guard your sacred rights. His grace and his deliverance means that something bigger is going on that we can recognize, that you can recognize. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate faith, celebrate family, celebrate marriage, ministry, and life. He is bringing order and releasing greater authority. Call to him, he will answer you, and he will show you great and mighty things that may appear to be hidden and inaccessible to you, but not to him. And remember, he gets the last say in everything else, and he's getting ready to call that play that's gonna get you to the other side, where you're gonna celebrate in a way that you've celebrated before, but not like this time and not like this way. So trust your coach, trust his game plan. God bless you.